from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Coming up on Forum, the latest on the BART strike, why the talks broke down, what the prospects are for an early settlement, and what this morning's commute looks like. We'll hear from both sides and a reporter covering the story. And then in our second half hour, we'll turn our attention to the rollout of Obamacare. Computer glitches and botched online registries have made for a bumpy rollout. But because we were all preoccupied with Washington's own roller coaster ride, nobody was paying much attention. Today on Forum, we will. Why the rollout has been so screwed up and what can be done to fix it. The latest on the BART strike and the rocky rollout for Obamacare. Next on Forum, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. The BART strike is on. The question is, of course, how long will it last? So in our first half hour this morning, we want to get the latest on what's going on, why negotiations broke down yesterday, what the prospects are for bridging that gap, and what commuters can do in the meantime to survive. We're joined first by Dan Brecke, blogger and online editor here at KQED News, where he edits NewsFix, blogging about news in the Bay Area and beyond. Dan, good morning.
Hey, Dave.
Tell us what's going on, what the commute looks like at this hour.
Well, the worst of the commute appears to be over this morning. It looks like it was an early commute today with people anticipating big problems on the roads. If they anticipated those, that's what they got. Some of the highways were really backed up. There were reports that the Nimitz 880 was backed up at times all the way back down to Hayward from the Bay Bridge. That's 20 miles. That's a good long way. On the other hand, commute disruptions are what we do in the Bay Area now. We're familiar with the Bay Bridge closures, and we've had a BART stoppage earlier this year. And people have really taken to the alternate routes pretty well. All reports are that the bus service out there from BART and from AC Transit and other agencies and the ferry service that's been added has all been working smoothly. So that's the good side of the picture.
And what does it look like for this afternoon then, Dan? Is the recommendation that everyone's giving to leave work early and try those alternate options?
Well, you know, you never really know for sure until this thing, you're actually in the middle of it. But if you go by the July experience when BART was shut down for 4.5 days, the commute home was actually pretty difficult, and I'd say it's significantly more difficult for a lot of people than the morning commute, and that's really because more people are leaving at the same time. That just goes along with their work hours if they're at the office. So, for instance, if you went to the ferry building in July, July 1st is a day I'll remember for a long time, boy, were there a lot of people there. So that's what I would expect people to find. I mean, there's going to be a crowded commute. All these ways they use this morning, except for the casual carpool, will be working pretty well. But people are going to have lots of company on those ferries and buses, and of course on the highways.
Dan Brecke, blogger and online editor here at KQED. Dan, we're going to hear from people from both sides of the dispute in a moment, but sort of frame where we are at this moment and why things fell apart late yesterday.
Well, I do that with some trepidation because we're going to hear from people who have very strong opinions on both sides of this. But I think, you know, this is really a dispute in a way, if you look back now, that stretches back to 2009, the last round of contract talks, where those talks bogged down for a long time. I mean, there were serious economic issues, and the unions were asked to give back significant concessions, but there was also a protracted struggle over work rules. And at the 11th hour here, as far as we sort of publicly know, that became the big issue here that stopped things. So, you know, we had the very strongly emphasized and highlighted economic issues of the pay rates, pensions and medical benefit payments that workers in these unions are making and were being asked to make as part of this new contract. And really, if you, you know, looked at the percentage of what people were saying before yesterday, probably 99% of it was right on that, on those topics. You know, the 12% pay increase offer from BART versus what the workers at the end, what BART was offering, as opposed to what the workers were asking for, which I've seen as reported up to 16% or 15.8%. And then all of a sudden, we started to get a hint of this a few days ago, that there was a real struggle over work rules. And those are things, you're going to hear a lot more about them, of course, in a few minutes. But those are things like, you know, how BART is allowed to assign workers to certain jobs, or how workers bid, how union workers bid on certain jobs. The agency's rights to bring some automation or new technology into the workplace. And those are things that the agency talked about yesterday. And on the worker side, they're saying some of these work rules are protections for whistleblowers and things that protect workers from sexual harassment and other negative aspects of the workplace.
So let me hold you there, Dan, with that setup for what is at dispute at this moment, and bring in our guests who represent both sides of this dispute. Roxanne Sanchez is president of SEIU 1021 of Northern California, which represents the majority of the union workers at BART. Roxanne Sanchez, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And Alicia Trost joins us as well. She's a spokeswoman for BART itself. Alicia Trost, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Roxanne Sanchez, with that framework that Dan Brecke just outlined in terms of the work rule dispute, let me ask you first. Part of what I understand you were objecting to is that this was brought up at the last minute. Was this something that only came up in the last few days, or has this issue been discussed for previous weeks and months?
Actually, while the district had the proposal as part of the proposal early on, it hadn't been discussed during this entire period. So it started getting discussed at the last minute, which made it very difficult to think that that for a complicated issue that you could get resolution in the matter of hours that we had left. That's what I think was raised at the table, that it was not that the district hadn't proposed it, but that the district hadn't discussed it until the last minute.
I see. And give us some specificity about what these work rules actually are. What's been reported this morning are things like whether or not employees are allowed to leave work projects partway through their completion, whether or not employees would still be able to get paper pay stubs as opposed to electronic ones, whether or not employees can write handwritten report versus emailed reports. They seem on the surface, at least in the way in which they're reported, as being things that seem somewhat old-fashioned and really could use some modernizing. But give us your perspective on that so that we can understand why they're important from the SEIU's point of view.
Well, you know, I was a worker at BART for 20 years, and I was I represented the BART workers as a chapter leader and actually negotiated and helped negotiate the last 2005 negotiation contract, which was settled on time, and we had huge the economy. You know, we settled an unfunded liability, medical retirement that was bankrupt. We did huge things, and we did them without the public even knowing how much we were struggling to get things, you know, to get to an agreement. So I think it's the relationship that the employer has created at BART. It's very difficult. They've brought in a very aggressive negotiator that I guess was representing their attitude, and their attitude was a very radical attitude, which makes it very difficult to reach consensus and agreement. But in terms of the work rules, what we have at BART, as any employment site, continue to improve and enhance the opportunities to transform the workplace. You walk into a shop today as opposed to 10 years ago, and you won't even recognize it. It's very much automated. It's very much computerized. We've had three different generations of vehicles. We have a different format of maintenance. We've adopted a lot of the Japanese model of maintenance. We've transformed the work in the last 10 years so much so that it's unrecognizable to a BART worker who's retired.
But tell me why, if you would, Rex and Chess, why it's important, understanding that you have made those shifts and adjustments, important to hang on to some of those rules which seem at least somewhat antiquated now.
And so that's to my point. What I'm saying is that when you get into these labor disputes, I think it's extremely critical for the public to hear the truth. And so what I'm going to give you is the truth. The truth is that right now, both for SEIU, the three work rules that we had proposed that going to mediated arbitration to avoid the strike were the 5-8 work week. In other words, the 8-hour day. The employer wants to eliminate, in many cases, the 8-hour day. The second language that's on there's three pieces that haven't been resolved. The third one is the 4-10, which means you work 10-hour days, 4 days a week. And they want to, in many cases, remove the 8-hour day and then only offer 10-hour days to workers. Well, the 8-hour day is significant, especially to single parents. We want to work out something with the employer that is flexible so that it accommodates projects that have to be done on a different time schedule. And we've offered, a 10-hour, 4-day work week for project work.
Okay.
And this isn't acceptable to them.
Okay.
So here's the problem. We have an opportunity with the employer to do as we've done, which is look at challenges that come before BART and adapt. That's how come we are the best system, because we're adaptable. We have a 97 performance rate and on-time ratio. That you can't do that if you're not flexible.
Let me hold you there and bring Alicia Trost into this conversation, because it sounds, Alicia Trost, like on this question of work rules, rather than it being these smaller items like whether or not you can handwrite or email a report, that what the union is focusing on are these more concrete and significant issues that affect how workers live their lives, like whether or not it's an 8-hour day or a 10-hour day. Given that, why not work on that? Why not negotiate that? Why not perhaps submit it to binding arbitration as the union requested?
Well, the union just wants to send the elements that they don't want to talk about to arbitration. They want to have the wages, have the rich economic package, and then send everything else to arbitration, while we've been saying all along, we want to keep it together. To us, it's a package. There's amount of savings that's related to the these work rules, and we have to keep them together, as that's how we're looking at it. And really, when you look at BART, we're still using fax machines. So no matter all the examples she can give of how we've modernized, we're still using fax machines. We've been able to modify our equipment that it requires only one person working it, but because we've always staffed it with two people, we have to continue staffing it with two people. And these are the types of ways that management's hands are tied. All we want is what every other transit agency has. BART has an extremely stringent clause that no other transit agency has when it comes to having mutual agreement and changing any of our past practices. We just want what everyone else has. You don't hear other transit agencies crying foul that everything's been running amok because of this clause, and so we just want to better align ourselves.
But what I just heard Roxanne Sanchez say is that the key issues are this question of the workday, 8-hour versus 10-hour. If that's the sticking point, as opposed to fax machines versus email versus handwriting reports, why not drill down on that and see if there can be some sort of agreement on if that's the heart of it, if that's what's keeping BART from running today, why not figure that one out?
Well, that's what we've been trying to do the past few nights, was to drill down on it. It all comes back down to this one clause, this beneficial past practice clause. BART has no control over its staffing, overtime, job assignments, scheduling technology. The unions have taken all of that over. We're just asking that we play a larger role in how we run our system. It makes pretty good sense. Imagine running the state the same way you did in the 1970s. Imagine running your business the same way and having to have every employee sign off on a change you make. That's not how the modern world operates.
But given that you have also, as I understand it now, come very close together on the economic issues, that the union has accepted largely what you are proposing in terms of pension contributions, healthcare contributions, and the size of the pay increase. Given that you've achieved that much, why not take this last item and say, okay, we've gotten this far, let's submit it to binding arbitration and see what shakes out?
Well, there is no agreement on wages, and we want to make that really clear. There's no agreement on wages. They're still asking for a higher wage, and we're proposing, they're saying, yes, we agree we'll pay more into the pension because we're reimbursing them to do it. Yes, we'll pay more towards our medical because we're reimbursing them to do it. What we still need to figure out is how much on top of that the employees are going to get. They're asking for far too high and without any of the work rules. To us, it's a package. If we're going to give you the rich package, what does Bart get out of it? We're trying to modernize the way we operate.
All right, back to you, please, Roxanne Sanchez. Have you not agreed on the 12% over 4 years? Is that right?
Alicia is correct that we are not saying that there is, and I don't want to characterize this as there has been any agreement on numbers, but we have agreed on an economic framework. So the economics were off the table in terms of, you know, what we had agreed, we were looking at what we'd agreed was would meet the employer's needs of expansion and modernization and buying new cars. And
I don't quite understand that. There's an agreement of the economic framework, but not on the amount of the salary increase.
Right.
What does that mean?
When you're in a mediated discussion, it's very confidential, and the parties remain on their positions. You know, you want to preserve that confidentiality. But what we can say publicly is that while we hadn't said, you know, let's sign on the dotted line, let's TA on what the wages are going to be, the economic discussion had been agreed to. We had finally agreed to what was the envelope that the employer could reach and the unions could accept to take back for ratification. So definitely the economic discussion had found its way and its pathway forward towards an agreement. So that had been resolved thanks to the mediation and, you know, and the commitment of the parties. But this issue of work rules, I just have to go back to this. If the employer is, I think the employer's comments to some extent are what characterizes the problem. They're all over the map. They're inaccurate in what they say. They're telling you the sky is
falling. What's inaccurate? What's inaccurate?
What's inaccurate is to characterize the BART district as an antiquated district that has absolutely no cooperation from its employees to address and confront the challenges. If that was the case, you wouldn't have the kind of service you would. You wouldn't have the modernized shops that you would. I mean, we're at the cutting edge at BART in terms of our shops. We're at the cutting edge at BART in terms of our technological approach to mass transit. So to characterize BART as antiquated is just, I don't even know where that comes from, except that maybe the general manager is new and is not really aware of what's out there.
Yeah, I hear you and your concerns about that. And I want to go back to Alicia Truss. Before I do, though, let me just give out our number. We only have a few minutes left in this segment. But if you're stuck in traffic right now, if you have concerns about this one way or the other, we do want to get in a couple of listener calls if we can. 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Let me just say to both of you that for everyone listening, especially probably those stuck in traffic at the moment, it sounds like you are so close. It sounds like if not an exact deal, an economic framework, to use that phrase, has been agreed to, that what you're down to are these question of work rules. If you are that close, why not go back to the table? Can't you continue to negotiate, even perhaps as a strike is going on? What is from the management side, Alicia Truss, what are you willing to do? Do you want negotiations to resume right this moment? Where are you with that?
Well, we absolutely want to open the communication lines. We have to figure out how do we get to a resolution. We can't let a few days go by of not talking. It's inappropriate, and the Bay Area expects more from us. So, yes, absolutely, we want to open that line of communication, whatever that means, if that means back at the table or a good, productive phone call. But we obviously have to figure something out. I'm sure they feel the same way. Everyone wants to reach a resolution.
Well, let me ask. Roxanne Sanchez, are you willing to go back to the table right now?
Not only are we willing to go back to the table, we did an unprecedented proposal to ask the employer to go to mediated arbitration to prevent a strike. So not only are we more than willing to go back to the table, but we were absolutely committed not to strike.
So why aren't you both back at the table right now?
Well, unfortunately, we worked 2 days straight, and when the parties left yesterday early evening, everybody crashed. Everybody went to sleep for 4 or 5 hours. I've been awake since 5 o'clock. I ended up having to, my body just shut down at 7:30 at night. I'm sure a lot of people did on both sides, on all sides. So I think that now this morning, you know, we're all on the phone. I'm here at work. We're collecting our thoughts. We're trying to get the employer to call on the mediator to bring the parties together.
Okay.
I'm hoping that Bart will do that expeditiously.
All right. So,
I mean, honestly, we want a quick resolution to
this problem. And Alicia Trost, where are you with bringing things back to the table? How soon can we expect that to happen?
Well, I know our general manager is upstairs right now working the phones. That's why she's not on the phone right now. And so hopefully we can get things back together. Our board president yesterday made very clear he's open to a discussion about sending the entire package, all of it as a whole, to arbitration. So let's see if we can continue those conversations.
Okay. So this is interesting. So you would send the whole package to binding arbitration at this point? Is that correct?
That's a decision for the entire board to make. They would need to do that. But he did make very clear that he's open to having that discussion. Let's bring the workers back into work and let's have that discussion.
And Roxanne Sanchez, are you willing to do that, to send the whole package to binding arbitration?
The problem with that is that if that's going to be timely, they got to put a board meeting together. They got to get the votes to do that. What I'm suggesting and what I know is absolutely doable, and I commit you to this, is that we can get together, we can settle this contract in a matter of hours, and we can get this writing public to be reassured that their system will be back to work.
But let me just ask you again. If the BART board voted on that and said, we'll put this to binding arbitration, would you be willing to do that?
It will take days. We do not have days. What we need to do is put the parties back in the room and reach the kind of agreement that we were almost ready to do within 2 to 3 hours. And we can do that and recreate that. It's the simplest solution. I'm asking the district to please do that. And let's get this by 5 o'clock. We should be announcing an agreement.
Are you on board with that, Alicia Trost, that by 5 o'clock there's a possibility of an agreement?
It's too early to say. It sounds like she's sticking to they want their rich wage economic package and nothing else. That's obviously a problem for the district, so we're going to have to figure out where to go from now.
But she's saying that she would like to have a deal done by 5 o'clock. That sounds like a lot of willingness.
Yes, everyone wants a deal by 5 o'clock, absolutely. Willingness from both sides, yes.
All right, I'm going to get one caller on the line here. Bobby, real quickly, what would you like to say to both of them? Just in 20 seconds, please.
Yeah, I think the attitude of the guest from the SEIU is touting is exactly the problem. She's touted for the last 5-10 minutes about how they've modernized the workforce and they should be patted on the back for that. And I wanted to welcome her to the real world where people use computers, and it's no favor you've done for anybody by learning how to modernize and use a computer. That's what every employee in the world has done the last 20 years.
Okay, right, Bobby, thank you. Let's get to Travis and Pacifica. Travis, just a quick word for each of our parties, please. What would you like to hear? What would you like to say to both of them?
I would like to say that I'm generally supportive of unions and their power to negotiate, but I think BART needs to increase their level of service from a customer's perspective. Last night, I was treated extremely rudely, and my experience is that generally BART employees are not focused on customer service. They're more focused on their own personal...
All right, I'm going to hold you there, Travis. I hear you, and I'm sorry to make this so abrupt. Obviously, we're not pretending those views are necessarily representative of everyone, but you hear the concern and the angst. So 10 seconds, please, from you, Roxanne, about what you hope for to happen today and what you hope for commuters to experience.
Well, I do hope that we'd resolve this today, but I also want to tell you that we diagnose and treat every car on a computerized system. Everything we do today is computerized. I have no idea how the district is characterizing what they're characterizing. It just doesn't exist.
Okay. And Alicia, please, last quick word.
Just a quick word to the Bay Area that we apologize. They've been dragged into the mess, and they have to go to bed past midnight every night to know if the trains are running, and we're doing our best to get it to an end.
All right. We'll hold it there. We hope that you will get all of you together by 5 o'clock tonight. Thank you both.